A Woman with Hollow Eyes.
Mini episode one.
Yeah. That's our first development mold. I think I'm hungry for more. Are you guys?
Are you up for one?
I'm down.
Up
I'm
for
ready,
one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try one. So let's try to do a shorter one because I think they're supposed to be kind of quicker. And usually you only pull one card, but I think this is a significant enough day that had enough turns and twists for your pull to shadow. I think that made sense. So why don't we turn over to our good friend Wayne here.
Mm-hmm.
So Wayne has a lot of things that they could be doing. Wayne is a member of the Makers. Wayne has a lot of questions going on with the mysterious past that there may be many different kinds of solutions to. What is a side scene or development mode scene you would like to have? And we can, time jump a whole lot here, right? So this could be after you two are working together. It could be just something you're off doing by yourself. I'm flexible.
I think I am gonna go with, I'm gonna head to the Dreamery because I'm trying to find my way to the Blue Sun to pick up some fragments of a dream or at very least get one of my recurring dreams explained to me.
Excellent. So the Dreamery is a location in Saturnine. So, the Invisible Sun is a game where the different suns are kind of like different places. So the Dreamery is a place in Indigo, which is where the city that Calvin just fell into is located, the city called Saturnine. So that's Indigo. And so the Dreamery is a place in Saturnine that knows a lot about the Blue Sun in that place. And so the night side of the Blue Sun is sometimes known as the beginning of the end. Oh gosh, there's so much to know here. It's delightful. But the Dreamery is a place, think of it like an embassy to the Blue Sun. So it has a lot of agreements with one of the gatekeepers, one of the wardens of the sun. And so they have really good contacts for getting you passage into the Blue Sun. And the Blue Sun is a place of thoughts and dreams and memories. And so it tends to be really helpful for people who want to dig into things that might be destroyed, to read a book that's been burned, right? You could go to the memory of that book and read it. It's a place to go live and re-experience memories that, might be too faded for you. There's lots of reasons you might want to do that. Our side scene is going to be you starting to get some sort of asset to help you actually get to the Blue Sun at some point, right?
Because
it's not a trivial thing. And so are you working together? Or is this you just a quick fact-finding mission?
I think this is, I'm just going over there to kind of get a sense of how difficult this process would be, what it would need or entail.
Beautiful.
So this would be like akin to going to the library to like look something up as far as I'm concerned. So I don't think I would feel compelled to seek out.
Which is very development mode.
Okay.
Monty really describes Vizslay, which are the magic users, as like darling bookish nerds, right? They love spending time at the library. Like it's a good day to go like find some secret by spending many days in the library. So the Dreamery is a... it is not in Fartown, which is where the Vizslay sort of live and hang out. It's another part of Saturnine. The Dreamery itself is a monastery-like complex, and so there's classes going on. It's got kind of a courtyard. There's a couple people, as you get up there, who are sort of having an outside class or having some sort of lecture, and there's like some signage that says, sort of a chalkboard that says, at 3:00, lucid dreaming lesson, and psychic travel to the deeps, There's sort of extracurricular classes you could go to.
Mm.
So there's like two wings basically that seem to have like lots of classes and maybe some like living areas, and then there's this courtyard, and there seems to be sort of a main double door which probably houses some sort of like reception desk or something.
Before I go in, I reach down, dangling from my belt, I have, it just looks like a wax tube, but there's a button on the underside of it, and I hit the button and it'll record almost in three-dimensional space, it'll like record video and audio of everything that's about to happen.
Because
I'm not about to lose any more memories.
Oh man, that's very good. Why don't we see how this goes for you? Why don't you select me a sooth card?
I drew the Revealing Knife.
Ooh.
Gosh, here's that. It's a pretty picture.
The Revealing Knife.
I mean, that has the ring to it that you're getting your way, but it might be through violence, right?
So be it.
So be it. Yes, the meanings are revelation, discovery, and finesse.
Ooh,
I like that.
Okay. Kinda
okay, roguish. So its value is 8, right? So this is like a pretty powerful card. Like, you do very well. They're initially pretty hesitant to get you access to the kind of person you would even need to meet with to get that kind of information of how do I set up a personal visit for myself.
I know I'm supposed to make an appointment, but I didn't realize that, and I've come all this way. So if they're free right now, I'd really love to have a little chat.
So this person is actually a painting hanging on the wall. It's of a woman, and she's got this elaborate, like, kind of pet, you know, Amidala headdress situation going on. And she's got like a really elaborate face painting. And then she's got two other faces sort of on her shoulders. They sort of consult with each other and they say, "Darling, I'd really love to, but there are eyes everywhere and I can't just let you in without an appointment."
I understand. Well, look, I certainly didn't mean to offend you or waste your time. Why don't I come back another time when it's better for you?
So are you like turning on the charm? Is that you just like smooth? I'm a call salesman. I mean, you're good at it. So She says, "That would be lovely. But why don't you make sure you stop by and see the statue garden? It's something we're really renowned for. And wouldn't it be a shame if you left without seeing the statue garden?"
Of course it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've heard tales about it. I am sad that this will be my first time.
You should go now.
I'll go right now.
Excellent. She directs you toward the statue garden. So there's this main courtyard, and then there's some stairs going down. And she directs you down those stairs, and it brings you into some sort of subterranean chamber that's got a big silvery, like, mercurial at the center, and it's got a bunch of wet stone all around it, and it's got a bunch of strange statues sort of overcome with, like, moss and things. It just seems to be kind of a dank, strange place down here, and there aren't very many people, except there is one person, and who are they?
It looks like a centipede that's about 15 feet long, but instead of legs, it's hands.
Oh, yeah.
And their different segments of their body are, like, covered in packs, like little, like, backpack-type things. Mm-hmm. And I think up at the front of it, there are three mouths, and they've got, like, they're really, like, mandible mouths, like crazy insect mouths.
Yes.
But there is, like, one tiny set of eyes with little glasses on them.
Oh, yes. Are they, like, pondering a statue right now, or what are they doing?
Yeah, I think they're coiled up around a statue and just sitting there looking at it, thinking.
Cool. This is the only person down here. It's this big chamber, but this seems to be the only sentient thing that you can see.
I wander over, what is the statue? Is there significance to the statue itself?
What is the statue?
The statue is, hand me one of those
cards.
There
we go. This is how we find stuff out.
This is how we discover things.
Yeah.
And the beautiful world that we're living in. Ooh, the statue is of a swan sitting atop a mountain. And the person is, like, just sort of looking at it, and, like, slowly it looks over to you, looks you up and down, and, like, makes eye contact with you. And then its hand does the thing where its, like, fingers fall in sequence, and that travels down the entire, like, coil of its body.
Yes. Yeah, you have its audience. What are you going to ask?
So I kind of mosey over, and I look at the statue, and for a second I consider, like a real casual, like, small talk lead-in.
Uh-huh.
And then I drop that, and I just
turn knife
to the centipede, and I say, "I'm looking to get to the blue sun."
I just have to read something from this page. Mm-hmm. "The revealing knife cuts everything. It slices through buildings or mountains as easily as paper or flesh." Anyway, just the fact we have a swan mountain. Anyway.
But this is not magic.
It's not actual real magic.
So you say, "I'm looking to get to the blue sun." So this person, what's the equivalent of a smile for this creature?
I think you can see it on each of the mandibles. Like, all three of the different mouths acquire the same tick. And, like, it talks, but it talks in, like, three voices at once that are mildly out of sequence. A lot of people are interested in traveling. Not a lot of people start in the library. Is this an official visit?
It can be official. I just need to get there. There's some patchwork I need to put back together.
Really? And this person looks you over. You're not a veteran.
No.
Got holes in the memory. A lot of people come in with that sort of problem.
I think this is a little different. I'm just looking to make some sense of a dream that I can't shake. I'm sure you of all people understand the significance of a recurring dream.
Don't we all? I might be able to get you to the blue sun. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be pleasant. You know, one thing about the indigo sun, a lot of people work very hard just to get here. They stay here. They understand this place.
What would a round trip look like?
Not many people make round trip from sun to sun. Most people skip town, then they settle in a new place.
I'm not particularly interested in what most people do.
They weren't interested in settling in either. Gets lost. You see, this place, it's so similar to Shadow. And you non-veterans come here and you get comfortable. And you think, well, traveling to another sun, that can't be much different. It's a revelation. It's a new world. You're not even sure that you're the one that would come back. Are you ready to make that kind of decision?
Yes.
I wouldn't have any other answer. Follow me. So this creature, its hands start thrumming across the ground as it crawls through the garden and like sort of weaves its way around these mercurial pools. Mm-hmm. You know, I was here back when the war was still raging. And I still don't know where these statues came from. Isn't that funny how you can go through life and just not ask the right questions to find the answers that you've always wanted to know inside? They like weave you through this area where the mercurial pools like sort of fall up in a waterfall. Mm. But it's not like full of movement. It's like this glass sheet. Now, I haven't personally asked the question, where can I find a gate? I have been to other suns. I've been to other suns that you wouldn't want to travel to. And if you mess up in your search, you can end up in the wrong place, you see. And I wouldn't want that to happen to you because you seem like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think if you have the fortitude to go on a journey like this, you're going to find the answer in there. And he just sort of points at this, like, sheet of mercurial water that is flowing upwards.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you. I turn and walk without hesitation or any All kind right. of stop. I just turn and walk directly into the sheet.
Awesome.
All right.
Do you have a thought?
God, I'm...
It's okay if you don't.
I know what we should reveal. So he's walked through, and he's got to learn something.
I know what you're going to learn. What I want to know is what you lose. So you step through, and there's this mercurial liquid. How does it feel when it falls on you? It's sort of like a, you know, like you're stepping through a waterfall, right? So it's not like you're stepping into that substance. You step through it. But what does it feel like when it goes over you?
It feels like if you ever had, like, Elmer's glue dry on you and then you peel it off, it has that sensation of, like, almost like you're peeling off your own skin. It feels like that just, like, all at once, all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it reminds you, you know, it feels very dreamlike. It feels a little like... You know, it's giving you some resonances with perhaps a dream you've had recently. So you get that feeling, but it peels off, and it, you know, this feels much worse. So when it peels off, you step into a place that's very dark, but it's got like it's like a small room that has a couple little inset alcoves that have candles lit in them. So it's a circular little room. There's candles lighting the tiny, like comically tiny candles, shedding almost no light in these big cavernous alcoves. And at the center is a pedestal, and it has a big crystalline blade hovering in the middle. It's not actually being held up. It's just sort of floating point down. And I guess it's not a very big blade, but it's like about a foot long. And it's just sort of sitting there, and there's clearly some like inscription written into the pedestal.
I do like a slow circle around the room, and then find myself like pulled towards this blade. And I walk towards it, and I kind of like ignore the inscriptions, and for some reason I can't quite put my finger on. I feel compelled to like kind of lean in next to the blade and just listen to it.
Ooh.
There's like a kind of high-pitched whine hum.
Like electric?
It's the sort of sound that you know must happen, but can't hear when light shines off of something very reflective. It's like that glimmer sound that... sort of fills the air, and like as you get closer, like it just sounds more musical and more tempting to get even closer.
But as you have the ear to the blade, that inscription on the pedestal lifts up. So the
just the writing is sort of lifted up like, gosh, what are those like fruit roll-up things that have like little squiggles on them, right? It just peels up off of the stone, and it drifts in front of you, and it says, "The blade carves away all that obscures, leaving truth exposed for all to see." And you know that this is a ritual. It's asking you to use this blade.
Yeah. I take the blade and I slice my arm from the middle finger down to my elbow to cover the whole edge of the blade with blood. And then I use the blood to draw like a portal or circle on the ground.
Beautiful. So you get that portal drawn on the ground, and instead of being something you can kind of step through...
And then I bind myself up because it hurts really
bad. Yeah, it does hurt really bad. It's really, really unfortunate. But luckily, it's a very sharp blade, and so it's quick and it's clean. So as this portal is in the ground, you see a hand shoot up through it, and it's carrying a medallion. And it places it into your hand, and the arm is much too long, right? And it's got the normal sized like forearms, but there's too many of them, right? You keep getting multiple joints. It sort of reaches over, places that medallion in your hand, but it holds your hand too, and it's touching some of the blood. So as much
like wriggle away.
So what my question for you is, there is an uncomfortable truth that you've been unwilling to face about yourself. And it becomes revealed in stark clarity as this hand holds you and gives you that medallion. What is an uncomfortable truth? It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but it is something that you have been avoiding considering.
The uncomfortable truth is that it's becoming clear to me that I can't do this alone. Like,
ooh,
I'm totally incapable of doing this by myself.
Very good.
Oh, that's
you
good.
Will fail if like, you do this alone.
Yeah, and even more than that, there's like a despairing loneliness on top of it.
Yeah.
Of like,
can't keep going.
I just can't do it.
I kind of feel like that medallion that you have, it comes out like this like dark blue sort of steely color.
Yes.
It touches in your hand, and as soon as this other hand like touches you and you start to feel uncomfortable, the blue like starts washing over different colors to like come to be like a red.
Mm.
And the threat of the red sun is like so real.
Oh, the threat of losing what little you have.
And I'm getting this feeling like as the finger kind of like brushes my like scabby arm, this simultaneous feeling of like, don't touch me, but also like, please don't go. Like, the first thing that's like actively willingly helped me. Like,
oh,
please don't go. Like, just, I don't know what you are or why you're helping me, but, like, please, somebody help me.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. All right, that is the end of that side scene, because that is heartbreaking.
Awesome. All right.
All right. So welcome to Invisible Sun.
Yeah.
Welcome to A Woman with Hollow Eyes. Amazing. Jobs.
Damn.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, oof, this is
crushing.
This has been a delight. That's development mode, so you know the basic structure. If you have your own sooth deck, you don't have access to the robust resources that will be in the full black cube.
Right.
But you can start doing some of that stuff now, which is really cool.
Absolutely. And I noticed that Tex Red is on there, and they have a podcast called Incantations that you should totally go listen to if you're hungry for more information about Invisible Sun, or if you want to know more about how the game plays, if you're interested maybe or not pre-ordering the Black Cube. That's definitely a great resource to go check out. Yeah, but I guess we're probably getting pretty close to being able to get costumes or art, character
art.
The
next thing is character art. When we started this, we were under $200 away from being able to hire artists to draw some of these characters. So that's a great opportunity for us to employ some of our more artistically inclined folks out there who need work, who need good jobs.
To pay for their medications. And
yeah, exactly. And bring some of these characters to life.
Yeah.
We're actually just over $100 away from that right now. Also, people were really wondering, what is the level that will allow Kat to get access to costumes? So the next stretch goal after character art is at $13,000, that's performer rewards. That is, everybody who's going to be involved in making this production will be able to give them a raise. So if you like the quality of performance performance that you saw here, if you think that it can only get better, if you liked the quality of the video that you saw here, and you think the person who helped us put that together deserves something extra, then please, please support so we can hit that performer reward stretch goal. And the one immediately after that, at $14,000, that is better sets and costumes. And that we will be able to get costumes for Kat. We'll be able to get a little bit more dramatic lighting in here and whatnot to make this a better production. So please, please support. Please tell people about it. Please share this stream so we can show off. This was just a sample of the game.
I know. This is, this is going to be amazing. Great story. Tellers, right? I'm really excited to see what they do with the act, the full game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I want to make that scar permanent.
Oh man,
Hell yeah.
I think it probably is.
Like long line.
It was a clean cut, but for some reason, it just won't go away.
Every 3 days, it reopens.
Oh gosh, that's
intense. Love it. Yeah.
Moxie puppet stretch goal, absolutely. I'm all about that.
I'm deeply, deeply into that. So please give us the support that you can. Share the project. We will have a new audio diary that's going to be premiering tomorrow. It's going to be one of Wayne's audio diaries.
It's really good.
If you have already supported the project and already helped us out, be sure to share the post on Facebook and retweet that tweet so that we can get more audio diaries unlocked. You'll be able to learn more about this world before we even enter it.
That's true. And just so you know, not a lot of people have taken the pledge level that lets you do a development mode session with me, but like one of those pledge levels is, we establish the need for some kind of development mode scene and we'll draw a sooth card and I work with you to say, okay, what happens? What's the outcomes? Or possibly we inflict a side scene on someone. So I would work with you to do exactly one of these for one of the players or possibly multiple. So I would love it if people would join me on that because these are really fun.
Yeah. I mean, and you've seen the sort of earth-shaking power that these can have on the narrative already. We've learned really important things about Wayne and Calvin. So if you've been considering that pledge level or didn't understand it,
yes.
Now that secret has been revealed.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for tuning in and interacting. We love seeing you. We should do plugs so everybody can...
Yeah. You can find more work from me at oneshotpodcast.com. I host the OneShot Podcast and I star on Campaign and do a lot of day-to-day organization stuff for the network in general. And the best place to find me on Twitter is at OneShotRPG.
And I work with Monte Cook Games as their community relations coordinator, so come be a fan, and then I get to coordinate with you, and that would make me so happy. So I can be found on Twitter at Darcy L. Ross, and at most places, DarcyLRoss. I have a podcast called Cypher Speak, where I geek out really hard about the Cypher system, which is Monte Cook Games' sort of flagship system before Invisible Sun came around, and I think there's lots to love, so come check me out there.
And for Alan?
I run a podcast about Dungeons & Dragons 5e with my friends, players, and co-DMs, Tyler Samples. It's called TLDM. You can find us on Twitter at TLDM Podcast or wherever you like to get your podcast from. I also started putting online edited versions of a play-by-post game that I'm running that I'm turning into a serial. You can find it on our Reddit, Cast in Fire, or our Tumblr page, castinfire.tumblr.com.
Super cool.
And those players are great, and the narrative is turning into something really interesting and fun, and I'm having a lot of good time with it. So check that out if you need something to read.
That is so cool. Development mode a lot of times happens via text, or Monty and the team sort of do Slack channel development mode things, so we should totally play by post a little bit.
I'd love to do that.
Play by with post hollow eyes.
It's so
cool.
Great because it gives you all the time you need to
really
flesh it out and write what you want it to be and all. It's great.
I'm excited.
And the last thing that I want to say before we sign off, coming up on December 7th, we will have another Woman with Hollow Eyes stream. We don't know what shape that will take, be sure to at me or Darcy.
What you liked.
What you'd like to see
more of.
Yeah. But we'll have one more to promote the Kickstarter. Please, help us get the word out there. And thank you so much
for watching. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
See you next time, heroes.
Go escape Shadow.